Black people need stories told by Black people. Enter America in Black. This monthly series starts February 6th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can find it on BET, BET+, and it will be streaming on Paramount+. Remember, being Black is lit, and not everybody can be it.
Well, hey, family. Welcome to What Jay Said, the podcast. Here, we are going to talk about life, pop culture, all things Black, fighting anti-Blackness, and with a dash of Sophista Ratchet. Come through the front door. You welcome here.
Hello, hello.
It is the most confident internet cousin, Akira. Thank you so much, cousin, for coming on this side of the internet. I'm so excited, cousin.
I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea.
Now that we have gotten that out of the way, please tell the internet family who you are, why you be, and why you are amazing, madam.
First of all, I just appreciate that introduction. That is so amazing. Thank you. My name is Akira Elon, and as you said, I'm everybody's favorite confident cousin, and I am the way that I am because for a long time, I did not feel this way. I did not like who I saw when I looked in the mirror. I did not like how I felt throughout the world. I did not like how the world necessarily treated me. So I took a step back, or a few steps, I should say, and I really kind of reevaluated who I was, who I wanted to be, how I wanted to show up in the world, how I wanted the world to respond to me. And I've been very intentional about that walk ever since then. And now it's just kind of spiraled into what it is now.
And again, all the information to follow our confident internet cousin Kira will be in the show notes, including her Instagram, her Linktree, and her TikTok. Please make sure you go and find and follow her and support her in all her endeavors, because she is doing most excellent work. And again, I invited you to this particular talk for this particular time because there is a conversation going on, especially around Black women, as it relates to, again, as I keep saying, the right kind of Black woman does not exist. Mm-hmm. And because she does not exist, we must determine the kind of Black woman that we want to be and become. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I really like the fact that my good sister Q brought forth this particular quote. She goes, "I'm just a Black woman trying to get free." Mm-hmm. And what does that particular quote mean to you, confident cousin Akira?
It means showing up however I want to show up and not being pigeonholed to one idea of who I am. You know, as you grow up, you kind of go through phases, right? So some of us go through like a hip-hop phase. Not even a hip-hop phase. Maybe that's not a good example because that's part of our culture.
Right.
But like maybe I'm a little more I'm going to look like Aaliyah one day. Mm-hmm. That's a better example. Maybe one day I want to look like Aaliyah. The next day I want to just like Lil' Kim. But and there are a lot of places that will tell me I can't do both of those things. Like I have to pick one. I have to stick to it. And once I choose the Aaliyah aesthetic, I'm not allowed to look like Lil' Kim, because what does that say about me as a woman? Or if I start off as Lil' Kim, I don't get to quote-unquote redeem myself, even though I don't believe in that. I don't get to, society tells me I don't get to quote-unquote claim myself and be like an Aaliyah anymore, right?
Right.
So it's the freedom is the idea that I can be whoever I want to be. I can show up however I want to show up. And who gonna check me, boo? Who gonna tell me I'm wrong?
And the one thing that I love that you said, especially as it relates to most Black women, because most of us like to change. We like to switch it up. We like to keep mm-hmm. the people guessing. We like to keep people
guessing.
There are some days that I like to walk outside like Barbie, and there are some days I'm just like, look, I'm just running to the post office. I should have the freedom to do that. But even in reaching a little further into that, the question that I really want to ask, and I think a lot of Black women ask themselves, is in this seeking of freedom, right, and trying to become more free, become more of who you are, what I have learned as I'm aging is, and Miss Cookie Ann said this on a live that I did on the 6th of April. She said that when you find out who you are, you are going to have to fight for that self, mm-hmm. for the rest of your life. And mm-hmm. I know that you've recently finished school. Yay!
Yes! Woo-hoo! Yes, yes.
So in this portion of your life that is, again, in transition, right? Trying to figure out the things that are best for you. What things have you encountered so far that allow you to walk in that level of confidence and freedom?
I would say the biggest thing is just not being where people told me I should be. I will be 35 this year. And so based on societal standards, I should be married with children by now.
Right.
I should be settled. I would say at least almost double digits into a career by now. I should have my white picket fence and all of those things right now. And don't get this twisted. I drank the Kool-Aid, right?
Right.
When I was 24, by 27, I planned on having all those things. So when 27 came and it wasn't here, I feel like I had a mini crisis. Like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Whose life is this? But then once I got past the like fear of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with myself? Or you know how the red pill tell us we ain't good for nothing.
Right.
30, you know, before that was even a thing, I was already internalizing those things, right? Like, what does it say that I'm this age and I haven't done all these things? But then once I got past that, something just kind of clicked one day where it's like, but you get to create a life on your own terms. You don't have to be subjected to what these people are telling you have to be. And not only that, there's a freedom in that because as you live your life, you're subconsciously telling people around you they can do that same thing. And it doesn't come from like a place of, it doesn't come from a place of I'm living this because I have to. No, like I genuinely enjoy my life. I genuinely enjoy who I am in this space.
Right. And the thing that I like that you brought into, you know, these dating relationships, social observations. So let's just bust into that because, you know,
that just gets
on everybody's nerves. The one thing that I've seen in regards to that particular conversation is it always relies on this expectation that women should be who men say.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the expectation that women don't want anything outside of what a man would want for them. And I think mm-hmm. that what a lot of men don't want to encounter is that talk that y'all heard in the barbershop, mm-hmm. you know, on people's stoops outside the liquor store at the gas station, that these OGs lied to you and y'all really don't want to accept that.
Yes.
What was true for them is no longer true.
Especially when those women didn't have the same type of freedoms that we have now.
Right. And even pressing a little bit more into that, the thing that I've always found most interesting is that these dudes really think that it's always going to be a woman for them, which goes back into, I think, how a lot of men and women raise their sons. And I'm going to say this and mm-hmm. sound slightly controversial. Some of this is how a lot of women raise their sons because, you know, I just need to get him to 18 and I'm going to ship him off to his next mama, AKA, mm-hmm. AKA his wife. But mm-hmm. but even in this idea of, again, just being a Black woman trying to get free, I think what we have to be dogged about, that we have to be aware about, that we can't be seduced from is this idea of self. Because has someone told me how wonderful 40 was going to be, child, I would not have been that scared. But even in pressing forward in that, and I like what you said about having the freedom, because it is a freedom to determine the life that you want. But again, a lot of women are sold this bill of goods that says, man, if we're just going to be 100, be a little freedom conversation, a lot of women have benchmarks in their life that they didn't create.
Yes.
That they have been given by other people. That and mm-hmm. again, some of those people haven't even met those benchmarks, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, what was true for, you know, my mother or my grandmother isn't necessarily true for me. Because by the time my grandmother was my age, she had a significant number of children. You know, mm-hmm. she had been married and divorced. You know, she had, you know, built her life from, you know, the rural South and raised children. So, I mean, she didn't go to school. She didn't have a chance to do that. So what I see a lot of times is what some men classify as freedom for them is not freedom for us.
Exactly.
Because the thing that I've always found interesting is, especially now, that when you determine that your life is going to be your own, it's always some cast with some problem. Now, again, these decisions mm-hmm. work for me. And mm-hmm. the one thing that be so wild is, well, you know, y'all going to die alone. I mean, but at least I'll be happy.
But see,
we not supposed to be that, which also goes back to, if I'm a Black woman determined to be free, I have to be okay with what other people say.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a part where you can be okay with what other people say, but, well, this is what I'll say. I like to believe, it's only a handful of people I genuinely care what they think.
Right.
And that's because those people have poured into me and poured into different positions in my life. They have seen me when I'm acting crazy and they didn't judge me, or they loved me through whatever I was going through.
Right.
So because they put in the work with me, I guess that's the best way to phrase it. They put in the work with me. When they come to me and be like, yo, Key, you wildin', I'm going to listen to that person.
Exactly.
Yo, this is not the version of you that I know you can be. I'm going to listen to that person. But you random 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the internet, baby, go and find a seat somewhere. You don't even have the confidence to show your face on the internet. Go Facts. Find something safe to do and stop playing with me.
Facts. But I love what you said right there, cousin, that the people who poured into me and did the work with me.
Yes.
That right there, I think, is a seed and a whole garden. That yes. especially Black women get a little freer, a little bit more yes. confident, and get a little louder, is who is doing the work? Man, who? Come on, Jesus.
Who is doing the work?
Who is doing the work with you? Because you have people who prefer the women in their life to be broken. I say this because I want us all free and to do better. You have mm-hmm. classes of Black women who can only trauma bond with other Black women. She can't offer you nothing except, you know, all y'all do is talk about who did what, who on Snapchat, and who chasing who and who was in who DM.
But you know why? It's because they don't. Sometimes I think there's a fear of knowing who you are as a freed person.
Come on, see.
You have watched your mama, your aunties, your grandma live in this broken space. You have grown up in this broken space. You have been surrounded by people, and subconsciously, right? Because we can't help the environments we're growing up in.
Right.
But unless you are willing to literally look at yourself and be like, you know what? I don't want to repeat this cycle. Or I am going to be honest with myself that I don't like who this version of myself is. But some people, I might not like this version of myself, but I'm scared of who that version might be. And I don't want to take the time to figure out who that is, because I'm also in survival mode, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't have the time to deconstruct and try to survive and do it. Like, I don't have a lot of time to do all of that. So I'm just going to stay in this pace as opposed to being honest enough with myself to really do the work to be a free version of myself so that I can attract those types of people to me and really build that part of my community.
And even in that, the one thing I believe that's in the underside of this particular portion of conversation is when you are in survival mode, that's what you're in. That you mm-hmm. that when you're trying to survive, when you're trying to pay rent, take care of kids, you know, yes. maintain a relationship. Let's just say, for example, just the relationship is healthy. Mm-hmm. When you are trying to maintain things that are really outside of your control, that takes a toll on you because you can't. You may have an idea as to who you want to become, but when do you get time to become it?
Exactly.
If you have to pick up, you know, because I remember when, you know, my second marriage was ending, like COVID was happening.
Oh my goodness.
So I mean, I still had kids to take care of. I still had, you know, rent to pay. I still had to, you know, it was a lot. It was
my life.
My life was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was things I had to do. And then here we go, right? Then you get comfortable with that neglect.
Mm-hmm.
That neglect mm-hmm. of self, that neglect of spirit that says that, you know what, I need to do this, but I'm tired. I need to do this, but this is so much work. I need to do this, but you know, I ain't, you know, the job I'm at, I can't even get insurance for another 90 days. So you get used to and participate in a level of neglect.
Yes.
And then when the neglect is normal, then it's common. And then you attract other people who are wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And those people may not necessarily be wounded or even want to stay wounded, but this is where everybody is.
Yeah.
And the thing that is so sad, I think, about that is some of us know what we need but don't know where to get it, or we are ashamed, yes. or we are ashamed to need it.
We're afraid of vulnerability. We're afraid to show our scars in a real way, to show our scars and say, I need help. I am, and I'm one of those people. Like, so I went through a phase in my life where I would joke, but looking back, it wasn't funny. I would drown before I tell somebody I needed help. You can send me a boat, and I'm like, oh no, baby, I got it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I would be fingertip above the surface. Everything else below, about to drown, about to kill myself, because I didn't want to look like I needed help. And God really had to, like, let me get down to the nitty-gritty before he, like, so you really not going to ask for help? Like, he literally had to knock me all the way down for me to humble myself. And really, and mind you, this is when I'm surrounded by people who I know love me, who I know if I say, hey, I need the help. But I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be seen as the weak friend. I didn't want to be seen as the needy friend. And I was raised by strong women. I should be able to figure this out. And I ain't got no kids. Now I don't have an excuse. I should be able to figure this out. When whole time, we were created to be in community. We were created to be there for one another. And again, I had people who were willing to do it, but my pride stopped me from being vulnerable enough to be honest and say, hey, I need help. And now, child, listen, if I need help, child, I just need it. And if you need help, baby, I'm here to help you, because I know what it feels like to not want to ask for help. And not only sometimes if you don't ask, sometimes if I just see it, yo, you good? You need anything?
Right.
Because I know what it feels like for your pride to be like, no, I can't ask for help.
And then, you know, as we know now, that's a trauma response when when you've gotten used to people saying they're going to do something and then they don't do it. But I'm sure. But I love what you said about, you know, the expectation of having, you know, to be strong, of having to figure it out. And then that goes also, I believe, into the communities that we make for ourselves and the communities by which we are born into. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in an environment that expects you to figure it out, to get it out the mud, or, you know, I don't want to make you weak, so you're gonna have to figure it out. You make these maladaptive coping mechanisms, you make these errant strategies, and then for a while they work. But then here comes neglect, because you're gonna come up on something by which you're going to need new tools.
Exactly. And you might not have those tools.
Right. But at the same
time, you don't have the community, or you don't have, well, I'll speak for myself, you know. I like my mom always say, I feel like she did the best that she could. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my mom, you know, I love my mom. But looking back, there were just things I wish she would have done differently. But for me, the grace is, I think about the age that I am now. By the time she was my age, she had 3 kids, and I'm the oldest of 3. Mm-hmm. So, and it's 6 years between me and my sister, 8 between me and my brother. So I was basically like a second mom by the time I got to a certain age.
Right.
So I feel like, to a certain extent, like I said, she did the best that she could. But looking back, I just wish she would have equipped me for certain things. Because I'm looking back, I realize I'm in my 20s learning. I was, imagine what are basic life skill things.
Right.
That I'm having to learn because she was so busy just trying to survive. And making her kids had a roof over their head and do all these things. Yeah, I just wish that she had the community properly, because all we have is my mom and my grandma for the most part.
Right.
I wish he would have had other people around to help with those things, because yeah, like, it feels like you do a double time. I'm learning what it is to be a 27-year-old in this time, because it's different than what my mom would have grown up in, but just also just some of those foundational things that I would have had she had the freedom to be there in a more motherly way. That makes sense.
And let's even look at that not even from a point of just your mother, but just in general, because again, going back to this idea of having to survive, of having to make it, of having to, you know, just to not even necessarily get it out the mud, because that doesn't even feel like the right expression, but having to understand that if you don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Exactly.
And sometimes that, you know, that tenacity, right, is what we pass on in community. If Black women can't give each other anything else, we're going to always give, girl, you're going to make it. We gonna speak it till it happen. You know, you gonna make it. But sometimes what we don't do is, while we understand that the cheerleading is needed and necessary, sometimes what's also needed and necessary is to ask, sis, I see that you are not okay.
Yes.
What do you need? And then we have to be vulnerable enough, right, to say. Girl, you know these kids. Girl, you know I'm not sleeping. Girl, you know I'm having these issues with my health. We have to put down the cape.
Yes.
And sometimes that is so hard because some of us identify ourselves by how strong we are.
Yes. I realize that that's not what we were built to be like.
Right. And then even in that, which is why, you know, I love Angie Cookie. She said that we as Black women have to reclaim strong. We are strong, but we have to reclaim it for ourselves. We have to define what that is. And then, which again goes back to, I'm just a Black woman trying to get free. And the thing that I think is essential to this conversation is we have to understand that it is going to be ongoing.
Yeah,
it's going to be ongoing because, you know, you had 18 years in somebody else's house under somebody else's rules.
Yeah.
And again, just as you said, some of them people did as best they could with what they had.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, or indifferent. And I'm fond of saying the best thing that God lets us do is to grow up and see our parents as people.
Yeah.
That they did as, you know, walk, fly, ride. This is what I have. And if I, you know, some things are good, some things may not be good. You know, there are certain things I wish, you know, my mother had done better, my father had done better, but this is what they have. But the justice in aging, right, is to understand that your people did as best they could. And on some end, we have to give them grace. But even in this idea of being free, of maintaining freedom, of getting more freedom, I think a lot of us have to accept is we're going to fail. And a lot of Black women don't want to hear that.
We know a lot of times we feel like we only have one shot at it.
Right.
So we don't have the space for failure. Whole time, is it really failure? Or is it just you learning another lesson?
Right.
It's not even fit. I feel like even the way we process it, we have to reframe it. Because I'm not losing anything. I'm just learning a lesson on how to do it better another time. And I'm going to be given the space and opportunity to do it when it's my time to do it again.
Right. My favorite is I bet you I ain't going to do it no more.
That part.
I bet you I ain't going to do it no more. But even in that, the idea, even going back to this idea of dating, the idea is that it seems as if the ideal Black woman is one that's broken.
Yeah.
Is one that doesn't have any sense of self. And, you know, Nikki Giovanni said this. She said, if you find a woman not full of herself, she'll be starving. And there has to be something in you, right? That to me, that has to remain hungry.
Yeah.
Because you have to be able to say, okay, you know what? I tried that didn't work. Let me try something else. Let me do something else. Not necessarily that you be consistently restless, but you have to understand that, you know, freedom is at stake.
Yes.
Freedom is at stake because I can't, I'm at the age now, and I believe, you know, with you being a shade younger than I am,
yes, right?
A shade younger than I am. You know, I started to get radically aware of time when I turned 33, 34 years old. I started to get real stank about my time. I started to get real stink about my time. Like, I don't want to have no silly conversations. I don't want to show up late nowhere. I began to get real, you know, for lack of a better word, I started to get real serious.
Yes. I
started to get real serious and real, as my mom said, get real ugly acting about my time because now on this side, right, of 40, you know, I'm aware that my grandmother, you know, my maternal grandmother died at 84. Mm. If God is gracious, I'll get 42 more years, but that's 42 more years.
Yeah.
It's not exactly. 52. It's not 62. You know what I'm saying? It is 42 more years. So I don't have the time to be bound up.
And it's funny. So I feel the same way. So I was blessed to know both of my great grandmothers. One of them was, I want to say around 100 when she passed away. The other one was in her 90s. And then I just lost my first grandmother passed about a couple years ago. She was in her 80s. And there's something about, like you were saying, there's something about being almost mid-30s, 40s, that it's like, I don't have time to be playing with y'all no more.
Right.
I have to figure out what I'm doing. Like, I don't have time for frivolous conversation. And that's why I think, for me, the dating part is so hard. Because I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day. I'm tired of talking about what my favorite color is. I'm tired of talking about what my three favorite restaurants are. Like, I'm tired. Like, sir, This is what I'm trying to do. Is this what you're trying to do? Okay, let's cool. Let's do this a couple times. Let's see if we align. If we don't, thank you for your services and let's keep it moving. Like, I don't have time for this. Like,
I don't.
We talked for 3 days. Boy, get out my face.
I don't have time for the WYD. Don't ask me what I'm doing, because I was doing what I was doing when going back to time, like if you say we're going to a movie at Saturday at 7, listen, then we're gonna go to the movie at Saturday at 7. Don't come at me Friday tell some, well, you know what, now
let me tell you, I was on the date naps. I have a love hate relationship with these date naps, child. So I was on this date that, and I think our girl bossed a little too close to the sun, because I had adjusted the ages a little bit, so he's a little bit older than me,
mm-hmm.
a little bit older than you, okay?
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, this is an older man, so some stuff I shouldn't even have to be bothered with. When it comes to these insecurity things, I shouldn't have to be bothered with that. This uncertainty, I shouldn't have to be bothered with that. Like, I'm assertive.
Right.
I'm an assertive person, and I like assertive people, not just men, but just in general. Like, I like assertive people who know how to communicate what they want properly. Right. So I'm thinking, oh, this is an older man. This is what I should be getting. Child, first he want to text for like a week on the app. And I'm like, so you're not going to ask me for my number? And so, mind you, the people around me are like, you're moving too fast. Because I don't have time to be playing with y'all. Like, I'm not moving too fast. I don't understand. So after a couple of days, he finally asked me for my number. I'm like, okay, cool. We have a phone conversation Friday. He's like, Sunday, we should link up. He's like, what kind of food did you like? I'm like, listen, these are two places I would like to visit. You tell me which one you gonna pick. You tell me what time to be there. I'll be there.
I mean, said, okay. I don't see a problem with this. I don't see a problem with this.
Thank you. Because everybody was looking at me like I was moving too fast. And I'm like, I don't understand. No, y'all just don't. I'm like, y'all just too slow. I don't understand what's going on. So we had that conversation Friday, right? Saturday, we talked. And he's like, yeah, okay. So I'm thinking about this place at this time. I said, are you thinking or you know for sure this is what you want to do? Like, I like self-assured, assertive. And he was like, no, this is what we're going to do. I'm like, okay, listen, let's just say we're supposed to meet up at 6. I said, okay, listen, I expect to hear from you at 2 o'clock on Sunday to confirm this is what we're doing.
Yes.
If I don't hear from you by 2 o'clock, I'm going to assume we're not doing it, and I'm going to just take the rest of my day.
I mean, I don't see a problem.
His response is, oh, you bossy, huh?
Oh,
red flag. Oh, red flag. I said, I'm bossy? In what way? He was like, I mean, he's like, you're just telling me what to do. No, I said, no, I'm just asking you to confirm the things you said you were already going to do. So now you're not a man of your word. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, it don't take much for me to be like, nope, I don't like it.
Checkmate. to me, it sounds like checkmate in 4 moves. Like, sir, you said that
we already your red flag number 2.
So what you're saying is, sir, that you like to waste women's time. Okay.
Exactly. That's, but I let you rock. So I told my coworkers, I work with people who, like, I'm moved to South Carolina. So I'm real cool with my coworkers, more than I would normally be. So they be all up in my business.
Mm.
So I'm talking to them, and they're like, Akira, be nice. I'm like, because they already know I'd have blocked it by now. I don't even hold you.
I
would have already blocked it by now.
I mean, I am the same way, because again, I'm cognizant of my time. I know what I want, and again, If I am on this journey of knowing who I am and knowing what I want, I cannot be wrapped up in people who don't know what they want and are used to wasting people's time. Like, sir, I had a dude tell me one time. He said, Jay, you know, you got a lot going on. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't think I got a lot going on. And he said, well, you know, when would you have time for me? And mm-hmm. I stared at him. I was like, but you came into this world without me, so you should be able to, you'll be getting where you fit in.
Cool.
I mean, you'll be all right, you know.
Getting where you fit in.
I mean, sir, I mean, we just talking right now. We ain't even on.
Right, it's not even that serious.
Because I am infamous for, I will give you a week. I will give you a week. Like, okay, you ain't text back. If I text you and you don't text me back in 2 days, block.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 days.
If I call you and I leave a message and you don't call me back, block. I mean, because I don't have time. I don't have time.
And I don't believe in doubling back.
No, because
your heart and all your parts.
Because for what there's in my latest book of, book of poetry and essays and musings called Vengeance is the Body, I have a poem in there called Myth of the Block Spinner.
Okay.
Because I'm like, really?
Yeah, I feel like you should have saw what you had going on the first
time. I mean, because
and that was my whole thing with this man. That was my whole thing.
Because I be, because women are tired, sir.
And not only that, like, I know that there are women who will tolerate all of this that is happening. And so go find one of them. Because what happened was, because I had, like I said, after that second red flag, I was ready to be done with it. And the only reason I didn't block him then was because my people was like, no, give him a chance. At least give him till Sunday. I'm like, okay. All right. So we had the conversation Saturday about the whole confirmation. And like I said, I'm going to give you till 2 o'clock on Sunday. If I don't hear nothing from you, I'm going to just chalk it. He was like, no, he's like, matter of fact, we're going to talk in the morning, da, 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 da. I remember I had to work that day, and I got off work at 2 o'clock. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get him to the end of this shift. We're going to see what happened. I ain't never heard from that man again. I let him stay unblocked until I got home, and it was a half an hour drive. I let him stay unblocked until then. Once I got home, I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm
over it. Stay unblocked, dude.
It don't take much for me, because in my 20s, I allowed people to waste my time. And to be fair, I wasted a few people's times too. But right. I was young and didn't know no better. You know what I'm saying? But now that I'm older, like you said, I'm cognizant of my time. And not only that, I'm very intentional and respectful of other people's time.
Right.
I want people who are in the same lane that I'm in. We want to find our partner, not just a husband or just like, no, I want to find my life partner. Because in order to get through this life, it has to be a partnership. It's not about one person being over the other person. You know what I'm saying? And if that's not the type of time that you're on, or if you on your fresh and fit
kick girl.
And all of those shenanigans, baby, I'm not the person for you. That's why I'm sure you saw it when I had posted that video about that girl, quote unquote, catfishing the man.
Yeah.
And then I would get a lot of pushback when I said that, you know, she should have pictures that are more representative of what she currently looks like. And people like, don't know about, no other race of women got to do all of this. Because I said, you should post different pictures, like different hairstyles that you had, full body pics, all of this stuff. And it was people in my comments telling me, well, women, no other race of women have to glue all of this, da da da. I said that more for a protection of us. If a man is a texturist and he don't like black women with 4C hair, I'd rather you see I have 4C hair than you don't just be bothering with me.
Exactly.
If you don't like fat women, guess what, baby? I'm a big body Benz out here. So I'm going to show you that up front. So if you're fat phobic, we don't even got to be bothered. Like, I'm showing that. So don't neither one of us waste our time. Because exactly. I'm not going to be bothered with your shenanigans.
Exactly. And even, again, going back to I'm just trying to get free. If that means that I need to be fierce about my time, how I show up in the world, how I want to move, you know, the careers I want, the rooms I'm trying to get in, I'm going to be as necessary pressure as I possibly can be. I am going to be Raven Johnson guarding Caitlin Clark. I'm going to be the embodiment of pressure because I'm not playing with you.
And not only that, why do you think I don't have the right to?
Well, come on.
The rest of the world does it to me. The rest of the world thinks it gets to tell me I'm not worthy of XYZ 1, 2, 3. So why don't I have the right to actually give pushback and say, actually, you're wrong. Let me show you how you're wrong. Let me tell you how you're wrong. And actually get to a place of, actually, your opinion doesn't matter. That's what really pisses people off.
Right.
When you can say whatever you want to say, baby, your opinion does not matter here. Your weight held no currency here. Going back over to the part of the world where people don't have no self-esteem. Self-esteem is high over here, babe. I don't know what to tell you.
And the price keep going up. So I don't know what to tell you. The price keep going up. We only apply pressure here.
That's it.
We only apply pressure. But even in that, because what we have stumbled upon, I believe, is the next echelon of this conversation. Because you have to have a level of bravado about you that says, look, I have gotten to this level. And I'm going to stay at this level.
Yeah.
And I ain't worried about what y'all think. I'm going to show up in the world as I want to. I'm going to make a demand on if I have my own demands on my own time, and you want some of my time, you're going to have to tell me why I got to stop doing me to come over here with you.
And you're going to have to rise to the occasion. And it's okay if you're not equipped. And it's okay if you're not able to. But I will not be lowering mine. You're just going to have to exit stage right until you get that figured out. In yourself, I'm not lowering my standards, though. You know how long it takes me to get them here? How dare you ask me to lower them?
And then again, even going back to what you said before about, you know, the quote unquote, the pushback about the young woman who had, you know, your dating profile look one way, you show up as another. Now, now again, this is not every man, but most men are most men are visual creatures. Mm-hmm. So if you don't give him an array of what you could possibly look like, then, you know, this is where, you know, people get caught up and their feelings get hurt. But at the same time, she has the freedom to show up in the world as she is. Now that's what she absolutely has the right to do. And even in that, understand that that man slick, you avoided a bullet because that man slick was gonna waste your time.
Facts.
He was only gonna waste your time. Like all you had. Like, and then, as little boyish as it is, you had your hair like this. Okay, it was a sew-in. Well, you had on lashes. I was going out. So you can't even see beauty. Man, come on. You can't even see my beauty outside of what I put, outside of this that I put on, which is only polish to what's naturally here.
And not only that, you trying to tell me growing up you never had a woman in your life? You never grew up around a woman that put on a fake lash? You never grew up around a woman who wore foundation, sir?
Be for real now.
Be for real. Stop playing with me. Like, who are you talking to, sir? Stop these shenanigans. I just want people to be honest. Just be honest with yourself, sir. It's okay if you don't like those enhancements, whatever it is. It's okay that maybe you still got some issues with your mama, so you're projected onto these women. But go talk to a therapist. They get paid to deal with that. I'm not going to take the backlash of that because you refuse to go get help. Go find you some stuff. Go find something to do.
Girl.
It's crazy.
But the thing that'd be so wild, I think at this point about these conversations is the expectation that Black women should settle. That there should be no rising to the occasion, because a Black woman is not an occasion to rise or show up for.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be able to do her any kind of way, which goes back to this bondage, right? To this idea to, you know, latch us to this idea of you are continually less than, so you're gonna take what I give you.
Yeah.
And then even in guarding your heart, guarding your spirit, guarding your time, guarding your body to say, you know, what you're not going to do is do me bad, abuse me, waste my time, humiliate me, all it. That's what you're not going to do. And every time that we break that, every time we turn this, you know, what do you bring to the table argument over with, every time we refuse to go up on these, you know, dating app auction blocks, right?
Yeah, I hate it.
I mean, you know, when we refuse to do that, when we turn inward and say, you know what, this is what I need.
Yeah.
This is what I require. You know, who am I outside of a relationship? Who am I, you know, when I'm not working or not somebody's mother, who am I? And I think that which is why, you know, one of my Facebook friends, Rebecca DeAndre, said this. She said, rest is a weapon. Mm-hmm. When you are able to sit with your own self and hear your own thoughts and then begin to let your mind wander to the woman that you want to be. That is a power in and of itself. When you can sit with your own thoughts and be like, you know what, this ain't working for me. I gotta change it. You know, this is not. And you know, there's my mother said it like this. She goes, "There's nothing more powerful than a woman with a made up mind."
Listen, one of the people I fear the most are the people who can't sit in a room with another person in silence.
Girl,
you always gotta fill the space with something. What's going on in your brain? Why can't you be alone with your own thoughts? Why can't you figure out who you are on your own by yourself? Why do you need the constant outer You need outer input on who you are. Why is that? I need you to go sit down and figure that out. And it took time, and and that's why I have a lot of grace for women who are figuring it out. Because it took me time, it took trials and tribulations, it took me knocking my head a couple times, it took me being in bad situations, being in bad relationships for me to really sit out and be like, okay, Kira, beyond being cute, beyond being smart, beyond being funny, beyond being all these things, like, who are you at your core?
That's it.
And at my core, I believe that I'm compassionate. At my core, I believe that I am a seed planter. And what I mean by that is, I plant the seed of, you know, it would be so much better if you tried this. Or you would look so dope if you do this. Or based on what you're telling me, I believe you have the capability of doing this. Now, I might not ever see that seed be grow into a tree, but I believe in planting a seed of confidence in people. I believe we all have it in here. Sometimes we just don't know where to find it, or we've never had it watered, or we've never had it planted, or it's never been asserted. And I believe in just sprinkling a little bit of some on it. That's my part of my purpose here, especially for women, and more particularly Black women, because we live in a world that tries to tell us we don't deserve anything good. We don't deserve any type of grace. When in the reality is, we are amazing. Like, the world would not be what it is without Black women, period.
Period.
So you're welcome. You're lucky that we're here. Like, Jay-Z has his lyric. I don't remember what song it is, but he says, what would you do if you know you couldn't feel? I have no fear of everything. I do everything well.
Boom.
And that, when I heard him say it, I think it was on the Everything Is Love album, with him, the album him and Beyonce did together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard it, I played it over and over. Like, he would say that part and I would stop it and start it over. Like, I would just listen to that part over and over and over, because I believe in doing things full of fear. Like, we try to be fearless and we try to wait till we're not afraid anymore. No, do it with the fear. Because once you do it with the fear, even if you, let's just say you don't succeed in the way that you hope to succeed, at least you've proven to yourself that you're willing to take the leap.
Exactly.
You gotta do it anyway. And I want women to get to that place to be able to push past societal opinions, push past what society told them about themselves, push past their internal fear, push past those internal voices that try to tell them they aren't good enough, they can't do this, they can't do that, and try the thing anyway. And that's how I try to live my life, and that's why I want women, Black women specifically, to get when they see me.
And I love the fact that you said that you bringing artistry into this conversation, because there is a level mm-hmm. of freedom that that you are able to tap into and unlock when you hear certain art that speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
And which, again, by the time this particular show airs, we know that Cowboy Carter has been out for almost a month. And child, that when I tell you that album has me in a chokehold and slam. Beyonce Giselle knows Carter was not playing with nobody. She was cutting switches and setting fires and car chasing. She was not playing with another body. You hear me? Nobody.
It's so good.
No one was she playing with.
It's already my most listened to album, and it ain't even been out that long.
Apple Music, like, you know, the heavy rotation show is heavy rotation.
Yes.
Listen, but I love the fact that she again, right, building herself up to this place, you know, relying on her talent, her talent, her community, and even the people, even the fandom to say, look, trust me, I'm going somewhere. Trust, even if you fall off, that's good, but I'm gonna keep going.
Yes.
And that, I believe that is what a lot of Black women need to keep hearing. It's along with, you know, what her clearly her soulmate said, what would you do if you couldn't fail?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you do if you couldn't fail? And mm-hmm. I think a lot of, as the top of this conversation, that a lot of times we as Black women think that we only get one shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the gag is you don't. The gag is you don't. What you do is you build a ladder to it. If I aim and I miss, I know what not to do next time. So now I get the tools together to get the next rung, and I'm gonna try it again. Now here is where we get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
When people see you doing stuff that they wouldn't do, the first thing they want to holler is how messed up your attempt is. I wouldn't have never do that. Mm-hmm. That's why I did. And here come the trolls of I wouldn't, and I can't believe you did it village. And you have, again, mining that self-worth, being able mm-hmm. to sit, being able to sit with yourself. You can't listen to none of them cats, because they're never going to do anything. But they will always post up and watch you. Cause what is it? Haters are really secret fans.
That part. There's and actually there's a really good example of this on the Beyonce album. Tanner Adele, who I actually fell in love with her last year when she came out with the song Buckle Buddy. They was tired of me because I was playing that song all the time. But when Beyonce announced that she was coming out with a country album, I think she tweeted something like, I would love to be on the album. Everybody was all up in her comments. Girl, it's already done. Why would you ask her this? You ain't going to be on no Beyonce album. She is just started country artist and she's independent. Okay? So she just tweeted her thing. People dragging her all in her comments. A year later, here we are now. She got two songs on the album.
Boom. See?
Boom. Like, it's staying your course. Even when nobody else sees your course, it ain't their course to see. You stay your course. You stay your path. Now, I believe in Jesus. I know everybody don't believe in him, but I believe in Jesus. And at the end of the day, my goal every day, well, every day I pray for wisdom, discernment, and conviction.
Come on,
every day. Those are what I pray for. And at the end of the day, when I look at myself in the mirror, if I'm good, and God will tell me when I'm wrong. Jesus, I'm unsettled in my spirit when I'm wrong about something, and I got to fix it. And he won't let me rest until I fix it. So at the end of the day, if I look at myself when I'm good in the mirror, and you got to aught with me, take it up with Jesus. Because he told me I'm good. That's exactly what it is at the end of the day. It's having that self-assurance to know, regardless of how everybody else feels of what I did, I really believe I moved the way that was best for me and the way that I was supposed to move in whatever situation that I was in. Period.
Exactly.
Bless your heart and all your parts if you don't agree.
Exactly. And again, that freedom being something that you mind, something that you want, something, and I'm a big believer in planning and having planners and making lists. I'm big on that. Yes. I'm big on, yes, if I write it down and I can see it, I can understand it, and I can do more things. And the thing, you know, again, as time remains, as we begin to close the doors of the church, mm-hmm, there's an incredibly good girlfriend of mine. I can't name her name right now because she's doing other stuff with CBS. But she's doing great things. Pray for her.
But
she's the EP for America in Black, which is on which is running on Paramount, which is the commercial that my oldest daughter actually read the copy of at the top of the show. And I remember I talked to her about the writing stuff I'm doing, and you know, because again, when you're trying to get free, right, you need people around you who are either freer than you are, or see you trying to get free. And she said this thing to me, and I've been chewing on it for a month now. And she said to me, "You're hovering." Mm. She said, "What, you know, the level that you're at now is good. That, you know, that's good, but you have more in you. You're hovering." She's like, "You can't stay. Mm-hmm. You can't where you are. You cannot stay." Yeah. And a part of I believe a part of this conversation goes back to who we are, right? Mm-hmm. As Black people, is too big to hover. Mm-hmm. It's too big to hover. And for this conversation, who we are as Black women is way too big to hover. So you gonna have to just deal with the fact that we here and we ain't going nowhere.
Period. And you don't want us to go nowhere, because if we went anywhere, where would you get your swag from?
I mean,
where would you get it anyway, babe?
I'm confused. They don't make it no more. And when she said you're hovering, and every time I wanted to back up, like, oh man, this is gonna be hard. I ain't got no help. I don't know. You're hovering. Yeah. So what is it that you want to do? Because there are certain people who want to hover. Like, this is as good as it's gonna get, and you know, I'm cool with this, and peep this. Don't nobody bother you when you hovering.
That part.
When you take that hover and you begin to soar now.
Yeah.
Well, who she thinks she is? Again, here come the haters from the whatnot village who ain't gonna get
from what Megan say. She said, "I know these ears don't like me because I know I'm on their neck."
These niggas don't like because they know I'm on their neck. I mean,
I'm saying, but yeah.
Girl.
Yes.
When I, girl, yeah, we stand Megan, Javon, Ruth, Pete over here. We stand.
I already bought my ticket,
we stand, baby. We stand, because these niggas don't like me because they know I'm on their neck.
And when she said it the first time, I said, girl, sell them again. Sell them niggas in the back.
What? Girl. Girl, look, that's on the Good Morning Mix on Apple Music. Put it in the rotation. Cause after I pray, sometimes I need Megan.
God believes in balance.
I need Megan too. Cause I need to remember to apply pressure.
Yes.
I need to remember that I'm too big to hover. I need to remember that it's my job to make at least three haters mad by 12 yes. o'clock. It's my job to do that.
It's my job to make you uncomfortable, because hopefully your uncomfortability will force you to grow to
right.
your welfare.
And I am not responsible for your insecurity, anxiety, or discomfort. I'm not responsible for that.
No, that's not my business, baby.
That's not my ministry. No.
Yeah, that's not my business. That's not what I do. All I can do is shine my light and pray that it shines on
that's
you.
That's
where you want to grow.
And look, like Raven Johnson, remain pressed.
Listen.
Remain pressed.
When she stole that ball from her, girl, you better.
Girl.
That's when I knew.
When I tell you they was like, oh, no, pimp.
The way you disrespected that girl last year, she was coming for your necklace.
No, girl,
you disrespected that girl last year.
Look, they made Coach Dom so mad last year. I'm like, oh, she took all that heat. She was coming for everything this year. Dawn was not playing with
it.
Nobody, mama, niece,
nobody,
no one. Dawn said
and all the love
Dawn
and support they get
and
they deserve, man.
Dawn Ooh. Said all this, man. Dawn
and they deserve
it,
man. And they earn all of it, okay? You had a perfect season and you won a championship. I'm playing with me,
girl.
I'm playing with me
all day. But again, Raven John, Kenza Ashley on TikTok
yes.
said the way that yes. Raven guarded her needs to be stuck, and it do.
Listen, but she was on her
fly,
like what right?
Fly pressure was a person.
Listen,
I mean
that's in the dictionary now. That's the new picture,
girl.
That's the new
apply
picture.
Apply pressure. Yes, it.
Because I think because what they said, Kayla Kirk had what 18 points in the first
Something.
First quarter, and in the second she only got two.
Girl,
I think
that was not pressure.
Covered her,
girl,
because she was on her ass. Okay,
girl, look, you already know Big Cousin Dawn was like, y'all better stop her. Y'all know just how to stop her. Quit playing with me.
No, I saw a tweet that said she don't even pull them in huddle. She just look at them, but they know what to do.
That's AC stuff.
They had a circle of prayer grandmothers over
girl,
there. That's what they had.
Girl,
okay?
Look now, don't look again. Turning inward. You take your L, yes. whether sometimes it be
yes.
in public or private, you have
yes.
to have the right people around you, even if the right people is you. Girl, even if the right people is you. Because what old crazy cat Williams say, sometimes you got to look in the mirror and be in touch with your own star
yourself,
player.
Yes.
Be in touch
yes.
with your own star player. Sometimes you got to speak life back to yourself. Like you, what, matter of fact, what, oh, I'm, what, from the Renaissance album, I'm that girl, these...
They can't stop me. Period. Look, I joke on the internet all the time,
but I'm not a Bay stan. I'm not in the Hive. I just work PRN. I just come in this. I sweep the floor. You know, I get the mail. I do some stuff, but I'm not in the Hive like that. But when I heard these ain't stop, I'm like, girl, yes.
Period.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah. I mean, because and even in that, as again, as every good preacher get three closes, mm-hmm. but even in that. We now have the blueprint to get a little freer because they gonna talk anyway. Whoever they is, they gonna talk anyway. So again, as my mother said this when I was like 9, 10 years old, and every time I get discouraged, I think about it. She said, "Don't die with your dream in you."
She said, "Don't die
with your dream in you." And sometimes to get to the woman that you want to become, You have to be okay with people hating you. You have to be okay. Yes. You have to be okay with being different. You have to be okay with, you know what, girl, you don't never go out with us no more. You think you're better than, girl, look, I'm trying to get this thing, I'm trying to get my business together. I'm trying to get my mind together. I'm trying to get, you know, y'all know I'm going through with this man. I'm trying to get some stuff together. Gotta take care of you have to be okay with determining what freedom look like for you, because the moment you start to get free, the thing, and we know this with Paul and Silas, right? When you start to get free, when you start to get free, other people get free around you, and there are certain people who don't want to be free.
Yes,
and in that
they are comfortable now. They got to move,
right? Which is why you must be okay with while you are on what I'm learning on your journey toward healing, doing better, getting free. You got to be okay with the chatter. You have to be okay with being quote unquote alone. You have to be, you're going to have to be okay with that, because there's a level you got to get to that other people don't want to see you at. And it's always going to be some trolls from the, it's always going to be some trolls from the, we believe you can't do it village. You can't pay attention to that. You can't pay attention to that.
So they're not doing anything anyway.
Right. But watching you, that'd be the crazy part. They're not doing nothing but watching you.
Exactly. I hope you enjoy the show as I win, babe.
I mean,
like, I don't tell you.
My thing has always been, if you want to watch, I'm going to give you something to see.
That part.
And as we wrap up, favorite internet cousin Akira, what is your last word for the listening people trying to get free, sis? Cuz again, all your information will be in the show notes.
Okay. So the biggest thing I would say is, on this journey, find your people and hold on to them. I want to give a special shout out to my people, Aja, Siobhan, Jessica, Tanisha. Without them, I would not be y'all favorite internet cousin. They have held me down and helped me through. They have loved me to the version of myself that I am now. And I'm still growing. And on your journey to being the best version of yourself, don't be afraid to keep growing. Don't be afraid to change. You're gonna change. That's okay. You're not switching up. You're not wishy-washy. You're on your pursuit to your purpose, and on that way, you're gonna find different versions of yourself, and that's okay. Thank you for having me.
This was amazing. I am so glad that you accept the invitation. And again, I think that we have unlocked a new level as to how this thing called freedom happens, and why this freedom must happen. But I thank you, sis, for all that you do. I thank you for all that you're going to do. And I am excited for all that God has for you. But I'll talk to you later.
Yes, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm back.
Bye.
Thank y'all so much for coming to spend time with me around this part of the internet. I pray that something was said to you that encourages you, strengthens you, and reminds you that being Black is lit and not everybody can be it. The What Jay Said podcast is a division of Firestarter Media LLC, established 2021. Executive producer of the What Jay Said podcast is me, Jennifer Bush Harris. All business inquiries and business opportunities can be sent to whatjaysaid@gmail.com. I look forward to seeing y'all around the clock app. Until our next time together, I'll see y'all later on.